Last week, we looked at a wonderful, powerful, life-changing portion of Scripture, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. We only got to verse 3, so we are going, by God's grace, if He wills, to finish the passage. So if you would please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and stand with me as we read God's Word. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes? Pray right now that God would make you good soil for the seed of His Word, that the Word of God would go down deep and bear fruit in your heart, 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's a tough prayer to pray sometimes. But all of us have blind spots. All of us succumb to temptation. All of us harden our hearts sometime. And this Word of God will set you free if you will open up and humble yourself and let go of your sin and receive the Word implanted. Just pray right now again. If you're holding on to any sin, let go of it and ask God, present yourself to God. I am here. Speak to me. I will obey. Pray now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes, and make them good soil for the Word, that the Word will go down deep and bear fruit in their heart, 30, 60, 100-fold. Now please pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to start from verse 3. We did verse 3, but let's start from verse 3 and then move immediately to verse 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Why? There is one body and one Spirit. Keep your finger in Ephesians and open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start from verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Thank you, Dave. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Number one in your notes, we're starting out right away. We are all one body, the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the other parts of the body. This is so powerfully illustrated when we celebrate communion. When we celebrate communion, when we have the table up here and we all partake of the bread and all partake of the juice, we are one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 14 through 17, therefore, my dear brothers, flee from immorality. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf. We are one body, the body of Christ. Verse 4, Ephesians 4, 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit. This is the most powerful thing to me. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives in my heart. The same Holy Spirit, the same one, lives in your heart. We are united in a very, very real way. Galatians chapter 3, 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, we are all one body. And isn't that one thing that makes Trinity Baptist so special?
Amen.
I was having a meal, or a meeting rather, with a church consultant. And he wanted to ask me some questions about our church. And he says, tell me the demographic makeup of your church. Is it mostly white? Is it mostly black? Is it mostly Hispanic? Is it mostly Asian? Is it mostly young people? Is it mostly old people? Is it mostly middle-aged people? I looked back at him and I said, yes. He said, what? I said, yes. In Trinity Map, look around you. There is no majority. There is no majority. We are all one. Because we are one body, we must love one another. Jesus' great commandment is this in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We are one body. We must love one another. The Apostle Paul makes this passionate appeal to the church in Galatia. In Galatians 5, 13 through 15, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. How are you treating the other members of our church? Are you loving them? Are you serving them? Or are you bitter? Are you slandering them? Are you judging them? Are you ignoring them? Are you insulting them? Are you putting them off? How are you treating the other members of our church? In your notes, 1A, it is inappropriate to mistreat another member of the body. Divisions, quarreling, fighting, bitterness, drama in the church is totally inappropriate. When unbelievers see divisions in the church, they do not want to hear the gospel. Amen. 1B, when people see drama in Christ's church, they do not want to hear Christ's message. What is your issue? What is your issue with your brother or sister in Christ? Is it so important to you that you are willing to be an obstacle to the gospel? I hope not. Because there's one body and there is one spirit. You know, this is not just talking about Trinity Baptist. We are one body with the church down the street. We are one body with believers in North Korea and Iran and Afghanistan. When the people of Indio see Trinity Baptist loving the church down the street, God will be glorified. Amen. God will be glorified. The church down the street, Fountain of Living Water, had their air conditioners stolen. Remember that?
Right.
Yes. Had their air conditioner stolen. And he called me up and he said, hey, pastor, my air conditioner was stolen. I've got no air conditioner for my sanctuary. I have a service during the week. What does it cost to rent your facility? And it does cost to rent our facility. We have paperwork and set prices that are set by the church board. But he said, I need to rent your facility. I said, my house is yours. Come and meet. Come and meet. And I was led to ask him, do you have insurance? Can you afford the new air conditioners? And he said, pastor, thank you so much. We have insurance. It's covered. We're taken care of. It's one reason we have a church tithe fund. 90% of what you put in the offering plate, we keep these lights on. We pay the staff, etc. 10% we sock away. The vast majority of that goes to missions overseas. But if he had needed an air conditioner, I would have had that money to help him. When people of India see us loving each other, they will see our good deeds and glorify God. When the people of Afghanistan and Iran deprive our brothers and sisters of food, clothing, and shelter simply because they name the name of Jesus Christ, and the people of Afghanistan and Iran and Saudi Arabia see Christians in America sacrifice financially to feed them, they will see our good deeds and glorify God. Look at verse 4. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. You and I have one hope. One hope. Hope is the Greek word elpis. Elpis. And it is confident expectation of a future blessing. Confident expectation of a future blessing. When I think of confident expectation of our future blessing, one thing that we all have in common, one hope that we all have, confident expectation of a future blessing, is what our society calls payday. Payday. You watch your checking account, and during the week it just goes down to the bottom, and all of us, I know, when it's within 2 or 3 days of payday, you're searching the couch cushions, man. You're shaking stuff, trying to find the last bit of change to make it to payday. You go to bed the night before payday, and there is a confident expectation of a future blessing. You all pay my salary. Thank you for that, by the way. My salary is direct deposit. Deacon George and Sister Debbie do a great job with that. It's direct deposit into my bank account. I go to bed the night of the 14th or the night of the 29th. I might have 76 cents in my checking account. When I wake up, I know I will be infused with cash. The confident expectation of a future blessing. That's what the Greek word elpis means. The confident expectation of a future blessing. In our society, not everyone has the hope that on payday they will be paid. But as Christians, we have a hope that we can absolutely count on. What is our hope? Who is our hope, first of all? Our hope is Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and Christ Jesus, our hope. Who is our hope? It is Christ. What is our hope? Our hope is eternal life. Titus 1:1-2, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Keep your finger in Ephesians. And please join me in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Jesus is coming back.
Praise God.
And listen, brothers and sisters, you are a committed Christian. And your life, the greatest passion of your life, is holiness. You are a committed Christian, and the greatest passion of your life is that God would clean the sin out of your heart and continually make you more holy and more righteous and more clean and more pure. And when Jesus comes back, our confident expectation is that you and I will once and for all be totally free of sin.
Amen.
We will be completely holy. We will be completely righteous. The corruption, the pollution, the damage in my, the cancer of sin in my heart, when I see Jesus, will be totally wiped out. That is our hope. And it's a guarantee. And what is the guarantee? How do I know it's a guarantee? How do I know that that will occur? 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of my hope. Awesome. We have a couple of newlyweds here. We prayed over Ben and Corinne, and we have RG and Aisha over here. I'm wondering, Aisha, do you have two rings?
Yeah.
You have two. Yes, Ethan.
Yeah.
The one with the diamond. The diamond one is all I need. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know what this is? On a lot of us have seen the video on, was it on Facebook? I saw a video of it.
Thank you.
Your proposal.
Your proposal. It was the video before the wedding. I don't know if it was posted on.
Okay.
Somebody did post it on Facebook. So yeah.
They had this wonderful proposal where they were using a global positioning satellite to find certain things. It's called geocaching, and they had their GPS on their on your iPhone, I guess, and you're finding stuff, and then and they it was like a treasure hunt, and then inside this box was this ring. And RG got down on one knee and gave her this ring, part of a treasure hunt. Isn't that romantic? Nicely done. You know what this is? This is a pledge. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's a pledge of something future. The Holy Spirit in your heart is your engagement ring. Because one day Jesus is coming back. What's he say? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Here's your engagement ring is the Holy Spirit. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back. And when I come back, I will receive you unto myself. And we will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is coming back for the wedding. And we will be his bride forever. That's the Holy Spirit in your heart. I suppose you want this back.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Verse 3. Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In your notes, number 2. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why? You have one Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord. In the city of Corinth, the church was divided. There were divisions and there was quarreling in the church. So Paul writes the letter of 1 Corinthians to address that sin. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another and that there be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brother, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Of course, the answer is no. We are all one body, and Jesus Christ is the head. We have one Lord. He is our master. He commands us to love one another, to forgive one another, to serve one another, and to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are one body under one Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have one Lord and one faith. The truth about God has been handed down to us by the apostles and prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and we together have put our faith in the truth of the Word of God. We have one Lord, we have one faith, and there is one baptism. We've all been baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ. We are one. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We are one, Trinity. We are one. Ephesians 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Above all else, Trinity, we must make every effort to keep our unity because there is one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. You and I have the same God. We are one. And God is over all, and through all, and in all. You and I are here to worship and serve God. That is our role in life. All creation exists to serve God. The trees are here to bring glory to God. The sun, the moon, the stars all exist to bring glory to God. All of creation exists to bring glory to God. You and I are here to worship God. You and I exist to worship God, to serve God, to bring glory and honor and praise to God. And you and I must make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace because God wills it to be so. He is God. We preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace because we are here to worship God. God is over all and through all and in all. He is infinite and all creation is finite. He is perfect and all of creation is imperfect. He is eternal. All of creation is temporal. He is matchless. He is beyond all comparison. He is superior to all. He is better than all. He is above all. He is over all. He is God. God is spread throughout all creation. He fills all. He gives life to all. He controls all. He sustains all. He works through all creation and all people for His glory and for His holy purpose. He is God. And we preserve our unity because God is God and He wills it to be so. Why should we preserve our unity? Because God is over all, and through all, and in all, and He wills it to be so. Why shouldn't you get a divorce as a married couple? Ultimately, because God is over all, and through all, and in all, and He has decreed that marriage is for life. Why should we love and serve one another? Why be unified? Because God is over all and through all and in all, and He commands us to do so. Why is it totally inappropriate to slander one another, to gossip about one another, to argue with one another, to insult one another, to be unkind to one another, to cut off one another, to ignore one another, to forsake one another, because God is over all and through all and in all, and we exist to worship Him. Whether people believe it or not, whether people believe it or not, Bible scholar William Barclay reminds us that we live in a God-created, God-controlled, God-sustained, God-filled world. God is over all, and He is through all, and in all. Acts 17:24-25. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Number three in your notes, we are united under one absolute, infinite, supreme Father. Look at Galatians 5:13 one more time. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. How are you treating the other members of our church? Are you loving them? Are you serving them? Are you preserving the unity of the Spirit? If you don't have your Bible open to Ephesians 4, please open it now, because I'm going to stop talking. And I want to give you a few moments to look it over. We're done with this passage now. We did 1 through 3 last week. We did 4 through 6 just now. Take some silent time of meditation right now in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Do you have something against someone else in our church? Are you angry? Are you bitter? Are you upset with another member of Trinity Baptist in any way? Give it to God. Forgive them. Love them. Preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Is someone else at Trinity upset with you? Go to them. Confess your sin. Apologize. Be reconciled, because God is over all and through all and in all, and He wills that we be unified. You're in Ephesians. Turn your Bible just a couple pages to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Start from verse 13 and just silently read verse 13 to 26, 23. I'm not going to talk anymore. I just want to leave you alone with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. Start with Galatians 5:13 and just quietly read to verse 23 and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your glorious word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And we pray for Trinity Baptist Church that we would make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Jesus' name, amen.